Every couple of years, I like to remind the congregation how many Christians it takes to change a light bulb. And of course, it varies depending on the denomination. For Baptist, for instance, it takes at least 16 people, one person to change the light bulb, and three committees to approve the change. For Presbyterians, it doesn't take any because the lights will go on and off at predestined times. For Pentecostals, it takes 10. One to change the bulb and 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. For Catholics, it doesn't take any because they, of course, use candles. Oh, for the Episcopalians, this is very interesting. It takes 8. One person to call the electrician. One person to mix the drinks. And 6 to say how much they like the old bulb better. The Unitarians couldn't tell us how many. They said, we choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found light bulbs work for you, that is fine. You're invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb and present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. For Lutherans, it doesn't take any. They don't believe in change. The Amish, their response was, what's a light bulb? And finally, United Methodist. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? It's really hard to say, because whether your light is bright or dull or completely out, you are loved. You can be a light bulb, a turnip bulb, or a tulip bulb. In fact, we'll plan a church-wide lighting service, and you can bring the bulb of your choice along with a covered dish for lunch afterwards. I'm really glad you're here today, and whether your light is bright or dull or completely out, we love you and we welcome you, and we hope you'll stay and share in our covered dish lunch afterwards. This week, the lectionary text from the Hebrew Scriptures is from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is part of the genre of writings in the Bible called wisdom literature. You know, when we think of religion and the Bible, we often think of things that are spiritual, mysterious, ethereal. But wisdom literature offers us teachings that are very practical, logical, pragmatic. For wisdom's goal is to help us have a better life. It's not concerned so much about the afterlife. For wisdom, it's all about helping us in the here and now. So if you've ever thought that religion or Christianity has its head in the clouds way too much, the book of Proverbs is the book for you. The book of Proverbs is literally a book of proverbs. A proverb has been described as a maximum of meaning in a minimum of words. The proverbs in the Bible were created thousands of years ago. We, of course, have all heard modern-day proverbs, little tidbits of advice that have been passed down by family members or friends, maybe in the kitchen, around the kitchen table, or around a campfire, or maybe at the beauty salon. a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Money can't buy you happiness. Never order spaghetti on a first date. You can't succeed if you don't try. You can't win if you're not in the game. It's better to keep your mouth shut and appear ignorant than to open it and remove all doubt. These are really good things to know. They help us. They're practical. They help us in the here and now. Help us to have a better life. How were these truths, these teachings discovered? By people learning from their experiences, or learning from the experiences of others. Those lines I gave you about how many Christians it takes to change a light bulb were funny because they ring true. They ring true because we've experienced it taking three committees to get something simple done. We've experienced people not liking change. And so one of the keys to gaining wisdom is being attentive to your experiences and attentive to the experiences of others. Being observant of your surroundings. Being observant of what's going on with others and with creation. That's how we gain wisdom. Lady Wisdom has come into this sanctuary this morning, ready to help us. She'll also be on the corner of Henry Street when you leave the sanctuary. She'll also be at your home and at your workplace this week. Always ready to help you if you're willing to learn. What she's doing is helping us discover how the world works and how we work as human beings so that we know what to do, what to say, how to act in order to have successful, meaningful lives. And so in a way, we're discovering formulas for life. Proverbs are little formulas for successful living. The early bird gets the worm. That's true most of the time. The early bird does get the worm. The person who doesn't wait or who doesn't procrastinate has a better chance of landing the job, of winning the prize, of being successful. And so in the book of Proverbs, we find advice about all kinds of things, about financial planning, about how to act around your boss, about how children should behave around their parents and how parents should treat their children. Wisdom literature reminds us that God cares not only about the grand scope of cosmic history, but that God also is concerned about the normal, everyday challenges we face in life. I don't know about you, but on the average day, I'm not faced with a sea that needs to be parted. Most of the time, I'm faced with common, everyday challenges at home and at work that could probably be remedied by some good old-fashioned proverbial wisdom. Sometimes we find this wisdom in the pages of the Bible. Sometimes she comes to us in a discussion with a friend over coffee. Lady Wisdom comes to us in all kinds of ways. And just like God, Lady Wisdom is universal. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, gay, straight, Christian, Jewish, American, Asian. Wisdom is wisdom. And wisdom wants to help everyone, offers life to anyone willing to listen and learn. And part of that learning is asking questions. According to wisdom, if a person doesn't ask questions, then he or she is not fulfilling their responsibility. So Lady Wisdom expects human beings to be assertive, to take responsibility for themselves and their future. Lady Wisdom believes that we are responsible for our destinies. Our choices matter. They make a difference. Just this morning, I participated in a funeral at 10 o'clock for a childhood friend of mine. Wonderful young man. He's my age. I still see Kenny as a kid. And Kenny Adell died. He had an infected tooth, and he didn't go see about it. The infection got in his bloodstream and took him out just like that. Wisdom. If you have a problem, if you have an infection, go see about it. Because this wisdom stuff isn't just talking about little practical things. It's talking about life and death issues too. But Lady Wisdom also recognizes that she has limitations. There are times when the formulas do not work. The proverbs are true most of the time, but there are occasions when they are not. Sometimes the early bird doesn't get the worm. Sometimes we get there earlier, we work harder, but someone else gets the raise and promotion. Sometimes a person eats the right things, works out every day, and still has a heart attack. Sometimes a child gets cancer. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Wisdom understands that she has limitations and accepts those limitations. For you see, many people don't realize it, but the book of Job in the Bible is also part of wisdom literature. It's very different, of course, from the formulas in Proverbs. Job is the most righteous man on earth, so the story goes. He tries to do his best and give his best and make all the perfect choices, but as you know, eventually, everyone and everything is taken away from him. And Job asks, why? Why am I cursed? Why are bad things happening to me? I have made wise choices. I have tried to live a righteous life. And there seems really to be no answers for him. And the story reminds us that wisdom has its limitations. There are things we do not understand. And wisdom knows that only God is God, and we are not. And so we are called to have faith, to trust God during these situations. We are called to embrace one of the most famous proverbs in the Bible: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so here we are, celebrating the first Sunday in our church season. What an incredible community of faith we have. And think about all of the wisdom at this church. Think about the thousands and thousands of experiences represented here. And if you add up the years of our members, think about the thousands of years of wisdom represented here. What an incredible resource for all of us. Does anyone know a good doctor for me to go to? How about a good attorney? How about a good dentist? I'm not sure of a good one. I know of several not so good ones. Hey, has anyone ever had this problem before? Oh, yes, let me share what I learned from my experience. You see, we have all kinds of experiences and wisdom here. Thousands of experiences, thousands of years of wisdom to be tapped into. Sherry and I have often said to each other, how do people who don't have a church family do it? We don't understand how people make it in life without a church family. Life is hard enough as it is. Life is tough. It sure is good to have a resource of folks who can help us make wise choices. Sherry and I and our kids have greatly benefited over the years from Lady Wisdom coming to us through the members of this church. I hope you will take advantage of the wisdom that is here for you, and that others will be open to learning from your experiences. It's also a blessing to have a church family when we have those occasions when the formulas do not work. When Lady Wisdom and us get sucker punched by a tragedy or by some great difficulty and the wind gets knocked out of us, we don't understand why children get cancer. How can we be fired after working for 35 years and giving our life to this company? A friend dies in a car accident. Like Job, we don't have the answers, but we have a church family to help us get through it. That's part of wisdom, part of God. Wisdom has its limitations, but we have God in each other. One of my main teachers and sources of wisdom was my Uncle Phil Hunter. He was a great observer of life, great observer of people. And since he was a great observer and since he had many experiences, he had a lot of wisdom to offer. A number of years ago, he said, Billy, you know what people at Asbury need to hear? You know what people need to know? Four words, he said. It will be okay. No matter what happens to you, they need to know it will be okay. Life or death, it will be okay. And I realized he was right. And so I preached it, reminding folks that no matter what happens, life or death, God is a God who turns death into resurrection. It will be okay. And not long after I preached that sermon, church member Roy Hill shared with me that his favorite sermon was the one I said that everything will be okay. He said, I always try to remember that. Well, Roy has been in the hospital for over a month now, battling for his life. And he knows that no matter what, everything will be okay. Those words of comfort and strength came from being part of this church family. God bless us all in our new church season. God bless the wisdom that will be shared as we share our lives and our experiences. Amen and amen.